My first guest in this edition is Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy here in Washington. He's also the principal author of the book Warfooting, and he served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. We want to get his thoughts, with less than 2 weeks before Election Day, on what the critical challenges are facing the next president of the United States, specifically related to foreign policy. And Frank, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Senator Obama, of course, having a roundtable event with some of his national security advisors, those who may have a role in his administration today in Virginia. And of course, the issue of foreign policy came to the head a little bit earlier in the week when Obama's own running mate, Joe Biden, said that if Obama's elected, the world would try to test him because he is relatively inexperienced with some sort of crisis within the first 6 months of his administration. As you look at the Obama resume, which obviously is pretty thin on a national level, he's been a U.S. senator for less than 4 years, just how ready is he for the issues that we're going to be facing on a global scale?
I'm afraid that my considered opinion, I think a lot of other national security-minded professionals, and for that matter, I think a lot of Americans, is that he's not ready at all. He talks a good game. He certainly is attractive and well-spoken. But in the final analysis, the job of commander-in-chief in time of war is not about glib phraseology. It's about having the ability to manage particularly crises situations. And I think there's just no getting around it, that if you're coming to the job with sort of the notion that it's going to be an on-the-job training sort of experience, you're not qualified and should not be entrusted with those awesome responsibilities, especially if, as I think he is, Joe Biden is right that Barack Obama would invite testing by foreign rivals, potential adversaries for that matter, with crises of perhaps unimaginable proportions.
Let's talk about that in a couple different ways. First of all, from a historical perspective, when presidents have come into office, what tests have we seen in the past, and what have we seen in terms of previous experience that has helped that new president either succeed or fail in addressing that crisis?
There are two answers to this. One is that I think we most remember the experience of John F. Kennedy, and I think Joe Biden had Kennedy explicitly in mind when he talked about a new president being tested. John F. Kennedy was, in fact, tested by the Soviets quite sharply, and I think there's no question that they did so out of a conviction that they could push him around, they could engineer situations that would be advantageous to them by taking advantage of his inexperience. It brought us to the brink of war in Cuba, and it was fortunate indeed that that potential thermonuclear calamity was averted. I think it was averted in part because John Kennedy capitulated, not well-known fact, but he did in important respects to the Soviets in exchange for their withdrawing the missiles that they'd put into Cuba. Kennedy agreed to withdraw missiles that had been in place for some time in NATO countries, specifically Turkey. So this is the kind of test that that I think we will almost certainly see if Barack Obama is elected. The other point, though, that I think is also important is if we elect a president who is seen internationally as experienced, competent, and robust, I think people tend to say, well, we're not going to test him. We're not going to run the risk that such a president might, in fact, take steps that would be very much against our interest. And I think the best example of that is the decision of the Iranians to release the hostages that they had taken when Ronald Reagan came to office. They didn't want to test him. They didn't want to find out what the results of that particular test might be. That's, I think, an argument for electing a man with John McCain's experience instead of Barack Obama's lack of it.
One of the arguments that we've certainly heard from the Obama side is that while it's true his resume on national security is far smaller than John McCain's, he's also going to be bringing in experts, and that he'll have folks around him that will have experience in these sorts of situations. It's an argument we heard to some extent when Governor and then President Bush came to office. Is there a parallel there, and is it okay to say that there's going to be a team that can handle this even if the president isn't completely prepared?
Well, of course. And, you know, it's interesting. You don't hear them making the same argument when they talk about Sarah Palin's lack of experience, do you? But on the question of will a president bring in a team of advisors, of course he will. You know, the man can't staff an entire administration all by himself. He's going to have to rely upon capable people. But this raises another serious question about Barack Obama. This is his judgment. Will he bring the right people into office? Very unclear to me, based on his past experience. They typically are people of the pretty far left, if not quite radical left, not the sort of people that I think you want to entrust the national security to, again, in time of war most especially. And his lack of experience creates a void where I think even the best of subordinates are going to have a difficult time compensating. That is to say, in the final analysis, it still comes down to the decision-making of the president. And if either as a result of inadequate experience, not being tempered by the real difficulties, real-world difficulties that experience often brings, and quite possibly compounding it all by a lack of judgment, that, I think, is not something that you can blithely say, well, we don't need to worry, he'll just bring in good advisors.
Frank, let's take a look in our remaining minutes here at some of the biggest challenges that will likely face the next president, whether it's Obama or McCain. We obviously have ongoing battlefronts in the war on terror, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. We have an ongoing diplomatic standoff with Iran over its nuclear program, and some say that has not succeeded, so some sort of different course is required there. There's obviously the Middle Eastern situation with the Israelis and Palestinians. We have increased hostilities with Venezuela. Russia is now a wild card, so there's plenty to be concerned about.
Don't leave China out.
And don't leave China out is right. So in terms of what the next president needs to focus on first on that list, is there one that should rise above the others, and if so, which one?
Your list is pretty complete and daunting, and it is true. I think that no matter who the president is, these sorts of problems are going to loom, whether they will be in his face provocatively in the way that Biden seems to anticipate would be true of Barack Obama, only time will tell. I happen to think that in addition to the list you've given, one other is at least as important and arguably more important, and that is the problem of people who adhere to something called Sharia, which is sort of the distilled essence of radical Islam. It happens to be the authoritative version of Islam, and it is being advanced both through violent jihad and through stealthy means here in the United States as well as overseas. And I'm afraid that that is likely to be one of the most serious problems that we will face in the future. It may be more domestic, seemingly, than international, but it has its roots internationally, and its purpose is the destruction of our country. So it is very much a national security problem, in addition to the several others that you've mentioned, which may run the gamut from attacks that will threaten our friends and allies overseas, like Israel, maybe even this country, to the possible loss of a war or two in Iraq and Afghanistan. These are the sorts of things that we're going to have, as a commander-in-chief, someone capable of contending with from day one. And I must say, I'm quite concerned that Barack Obama is ill-suited to do that.
Frank, obviously over the past 4 or 5 weeks or so, the number one issue in this campaign has been the economy, which it really has been all year. But in terms of covering this campaign, it's really been the issue. There's almost been no discussion other than the fact that it was formatted into the debates of some of these foreign policy challenges. Given the fact that almost all the attention is sucked into the domestic side, and for a large part, rightly so, do you fear that voters aren't paying enough attention to some of these crises?
I think it's always the case that in democracies like ours, foreign policy, national security matters tend to take a backseat unless they're really imminent perils. We focus quite understandably, on the problems nearer at home, most immediately affecting our well-being and our pocketbooks. That is certainly true today with the very serious economic difficulties the country is facing. Unfortunately, it is also the case that I think a number of these threats are poised to become very much imminent ones, and therefore they do deserve our profound attention, especially in the voting booth.
Well, Frank, plenty for voters to chew on as a result of this conversation, and certainly a lot for the next president to handle. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Frank Gaffney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, and he is the principal author of the book War Footing. Once again, Election Day now just 13 days away. And on that note, still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll be talking with Shira Tuplitz of Roll Call Newspaper about how controlling the Senate looks more and more bleak for Republicans here in 2008. We'll examine why voters seem to be blaming the GOP for some of the economic woes we've been facing lately and how that's being crystallized in a couple of critical Senate races. We'll also be joined by Eleanor Clift of Newsweek magazine to talk about why John McCain won't go after Jeremiah Wright like the Hillary Clinton campaign did earlier this year. And we'll take a look at the latest stories regarding voter registration fraud and that group, Acorn. But the news is next. This is Dateline Washington.